What's tomorrow? Sunday, right? But as some of you said, Mother's Day. For some of you, that may be special. For some of you, it may not be. But what I would like to do today in my split sermon is take a look once again at the importance that God places on honoring not just mothers, but all women. When you look at the world in which we live, and you see the history of man's attitude toward women, we know that in many countries on earth, it is Satan-inspired, that women are considered to be property, beasts of burden, whatever. They're mistreated and abused. So there's something special about women that Satan especially hates. And we'll take a look and see what it is, and we go into the Word of God. You know, why has Satan, kind of from the beginning almost, attacked women? And mothers are very special, of course, and all women are potential mothers, aren't they? Well, let's take a look then, because of tomorrow being Mother's Day, and review again some of the things that God reveals about the importance of women and mothers. Turn with me. We'll begin in Genesis chapter 2. We could begin right in chapter 1, where God said that he made both the man and the woman in his image. But I'd like to pick it up in chapter 2, verse 18, where the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone," when he created Adam, right? Created him first, and then the animals, and he named all the animals, and he was alone. And God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper," as I'm reading from the New King James, "I will make him a helper comparable to him," like him. Now, this has been misused, misread, misunderstood by many over the years, even in God's church. I remember decades ago, I'm not going to dwell much on that, but I remember men who, even in the church, and the way they read this in Ephesians 5 is that they had total, complete, absolute authority over the lives of the woman, and they were kind of like a slave and a servant to them. Many of you have maybe studied this and looked into it, but this Hebrew word for helper, God is called the same thing, and I'll not be going into that right now, but the exact same Hebrew word where it talks about the woman being a helper for the man is the exact Hebrew word used in the Psalms and other places where it calls God a helper. And so a helper is an honored position. Now, we do know that God created the man to be the head of the family and to be the head of the wife in that role. But all of us, I believe, have learned, hopefully, that when God created the woman and said she was to be a complement or a helper to Adam, that she didn't make him in any way inferior to Adam. The woman is as intelligent as the man, maybe sometimes more so, right? The woman has equal abilities, great abilities, same spiritual potential. I mean, the Bible makes it very clear that women are going to be kings and priests and leaders and teachers in God's kingdom as well as men. In fact, some who may have been women in this life, once we're changed into spirit beings like God, like Jesus, where it says they're not given in marriage, but we will know love beyond anything you can know in this life, there will be very likely spirit beings, God family beings who were women who will be over some of us men. We better be prepared for that. I mean, some of you men, you're wives, and I don't mean this in a wrong way. Can people say, "Oh, you're just a, you don't have it right, Mr. Luker. It's all the men, every man, just because he's a man, automatically because he's a man, that means when he makes it into God's kingdom, he's automatically going to be over every woman who's ever lived." Oh, yeah? Show me that in Scripture. But my point is just this, that we are to love and to respect women for many different reasons, as we'll see, and to honor them. But certainly one of the reasons is that God created them and made them the way that he did, and he made women in his image as much as he made the man in his image. So when you read in verse 27 of chapter 1, where it says, God created man in his own image. Again, I've known men. See, God made the man in his image, and then as a second thought, he made the woman. Now, the Hebrew word here is not ish. It doesn't mean male. What it means is he made mankind. It's a different Hebrew word, Adam. He made mankind. And the same verse says he created them. Male and female, he created them. So, you know, when my little brain figured that out and it dawned on my mind, wow, Leanne's my wife, and God says, I'm the head of the family. And we all know that in any organizational type of structure at all, we all have jobs and we all work. There are different positions of responsibility. And I'm under responsibility. I have bosses over me in the church. And the same things in the family, a boss, or maybe it's not the right word, a supervisor. Different terms are used. So we all know the thing of the role within marriage and within the family, but it doesn't mean that the wife or the children are inferior in their potential at all. So it is not good that the man should be alone. Now, does that mean that if you aren't married or if you never marry, that there's something wrong with you? You know, this goes around as well. No, it doesn't, because you can see the example in the Bible of those who were single and who never married. But the important lesson here is for men and women, even if you're not married, is you need the opposite sex. And you need friends and right, wholesome relationships with the opposite sex. You need to come to understand them, how they think and how they feel. They're different from you, but their feelings and their differences are of God. You see, men, we're not exactly like God. He gave us some of his wonderful tributes to be leaders and servants, protectors, and many other things. But then he also gave the woman that he created part of himself and part of, well, I think we know that. I'm reviewing that for you. But it's such a tremendous mind expander and opens your mind when you understand that and you can say, wow. And God made women beautiful, didn't he? To be beautiful to men. And I think that's what Satan hated. God created the man and the woman's body inside and out. And this is not a sex class I'm going into, but I've done that in the past. And when you go into it and you really stop and think, God Almighty, God the one we call the Father and the one who is the Word who became Jesus, thought it out, designed it, and then brought it into being, the male, female body, every aspect of it. And then said it was very good what he had created. It's beautiful. And he made the man to be, you know, kind of handsome and strong and all the things that women can maybe look for in a man. And he made women beautiful in many different ways, especially inside, but also out. Maybe that's what Lucifer hated. Because he had a problem, didn't he? And for some reason, maybe it was Eve's beauty. You know, and Adam, his eyes must have popped out of his head when Eve stood there, when God had took that rib and made her, and how beautiful she was, and God introduced him to Eve, and wow! You know? There's something about the beauty of women that Satan hates. Because you just look, you know, even in our lifetime there in Afghanistan, the way the religious leaders were looking upon women, covering their bodies, they could not, from head to toe, right, had to be totally covered. And some of them to this day, even though things have changed in Afghanistan, it's hard to change. And they still go around that way because they've been told that, you know, that their body will cause men to lust. And you've got to cover it all up. Let's move on with the wonderful story of why God says we should love and honor and respect women, especially mothers, because none of us would really be alive without a mother. Well, it takes a father too, but that'll come at Father's Day. This is Mother's Day tomorrow. We'll talk about them later. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. And so really this applies to all of you because, you know, as I'm going to show you, we also have spiritual mothers in the church, don't we? There could be mothers in the church who've never been married or had children, and yet they are mature women who've been wonderful examples of servants of God and like spiritual mothering in the church. That means their lives have been dedicated to serving God and His people. Spiritual mothers. They're very important, too, to honor. We know Exodus chapter 20, that one of the great commandments, right, of the law of God, one of the big ten, is verse 12. The fifth commandment, or it's the sixth, let's see. Yeah, the fourth commandment, remember this, six. No, the first four, it's number five. You're right, let's get it right. The Sabbath day is number four. And then so in verse 12, honor your father and your mother. And it doesn't just stop there. As Paul called it in Ephesians 5, this is the first commandment of the ten with a promise attached to it. First commandment with promise. So it goes on, honor your mother and father that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Now, why do you suspect that's so important, honoring mother and father? I mean, you know, you probably could think of a lot of reasons, right? But isn't marriage and family life the very basis of society itself? When marriage and family life begins to break down and fall apart, like is happening in our country and other countries, what begins to happen to society? It breaks down. And eventually, it collapses. Eventually, it's destroyed when this happens. And so God knew that a mother and a father, a marriage and a family and the children, mother and father means children, is the very basis of the existence of society and of raising healthy children and raising normal, healthy future human beings. It was to be within the family environment. And then God would be able to bless the land and bless the country. So it's very important. And many of you have been the victims of the breakdown of a marriage or family life. Maybe you didn't have it in your life. Maybe your parents were the victims of dysfunction or breaking down. You know, it's gone on for many generations, hasn't it? So the degree to which you had a loving mother and father contributes a great deal to your stability. Because God created it to be that way, one of His great commandments of the law. And so if you don't have a mother, a literal physical mother and father that is alive, or one that you're going to be honoring, maybe you can honor someone else that you know and love who's a woman, is a spiritual mother, or is a physical mother. Someone else has been like a mother to you. Because men, we all need mothering, don't we? And we all need a woman's influence in our lives. I know what I would be like if I weren't married to Leanne. You'd think I'd be just like me now? Oh, no. I would be definitely more of a hermit, more of a recluse, because that would be my natural tendency. But, you know, a woman, God created to be a social creature. They love to talk twice as much as men do. And you know all the facts on that. You've probably read about that God created a woman. That's why she'll come home or whatever, and, honey, what did you do today? Nothing. You know? But she wants to know all the details. You know, we know all these wonderful differences. I don't need to go into them. But it's true. They've proven that, and this is a general rule. There are always exceptions and differences. But as a general rule, women use twice as many words a day as men do. probably in some cases three or four times as many. But that depends on the husband and the wife. And we're all unique. Wonderful differences. So men, that's why, again, we're talking about honoring women, especially mothers, even spiritual mothers. What would we do without them? What would you do? You men, now maybe some of you don't have a strong connection with a woman, somebody of the opposite sex. Well, let me just remind you, you need to. Even if you're not married, please be working at developing good, close, healthy relationships with women, especially a few. You know, there's not time to invest and you know, say, I've got a dozen good friends of the opposite sex. It'd be wonderful if you could do that, but sometimes you can't. It's a matter of time. But have one or two or three so that you can get their perspective and so they can give you their feelings and their feedback on things. And respect the fact that God created and made them the way they are and gave them their personality, gave them their temperament, gave them their qualities, created them to help us men. Now, this doesn't mean that every woman in the church is subject to every man in the church. The Bible doesn't say that. Husband and wife, yes. Wives are to be subject to their husbands and everything and to respect them. Husbands are to love their wives. So many reasons that we can think of. Go with me to Leviticus 19. Let's look at one more scripture here where God points out that it is important for us to do this. And again, this is breaking down in our society. It's not being taught the way it should be, not being passed on in the children. But Leviticus 19, verses 1 through 3. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to all the congregation of the children of Israel and say to them, 'You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. Every one of you shall,'" and I think in the Old King James it says, "fear." Well, better translation, like in the New King James, is "revere." And it means deep respect for. Deep respect for. Now, I guess there could be a certain fear of mother. I remember when I would get in trouble and do things, my mother would, she'd get the belt out, man, she'd start wailing away, you know. My parents were born in the South and they believed in spanking. And especially at night, she'd make us go to bed, my brother and me. You know, and kids, you never want to go to bed when you're supposed to. So we'd go in there and we'd be talking and laughing and joking around real late. "You kids go to bed in there. Denny and Luke," my brother, call him Luke, Ken, Kenneth. And we'd still be laughing and we'd go a little quieter. And pretty soon she'd come in with a belt. And all we did was stick our feet up. The sheet was above us there and she'd be whamming on the sheet. And we'd act like we were really hurting. Oh, whoa, stop, please. But we loved our mom. A little fear there when she got the belt, you know, that type of thing. But what it really does mean is, and again, it's God's law. He says, you better have an abiding respect for your mother because of who she is. Your mother and your father, he throws that right in with keeping my Sabbaths. I am the Lord, your God. So it was a law of God. And back in the Old Testament days, as you know, when youth in very serious situations would transgress or disrespect their parents or do evil, there were severe punishments. The ultimate could even be death. God knew the consequences, and we see the consequences in our society today, how bad it can get when families break down. So respecting women, and some men, did you know that? Probably do. Some men hate women. Maybe they had a very negative upbringing with a mother or sisters or women in general. But some men that I have known despise women. They were abusers of women, and they're angry at women, and literally, down deep, probably don't like women. It's a big problem. They need to learn why that happened, and they need to see the mistakes that were made, and they need to rise above that, right? They really do. Some people are against marriage because they don't know too many happy marriages. But does that make marriage bad? No. I know some people are against husbands or fathers because they've only known abuse. God's way is a good way, a right way, and it's not the abuse that makes the whole thing wrong. It's the abusers. And so I hope you'll be thinking today a little bit, men, all of us, on how much do we, as men, truly honor and respect women, the opposite sex? How do we treat them in church, in and out of cars, going through doors? What is our attitude toward them? Or are we letting the society in which we live, the way it is in the world, affect us? Do we show love and respect and honor toward women? Are we protectors and helpers and use our God-given gifts as blessings to them? Let's look at how God uses women in analogies and symbolism in the Bible. Turn with me to Revelation 12. He uses it, and many times in a very honorable and good way. He also talks about false women and the harlot and that type of thing. But notice here in Revelation 12, when he talks about his own church. Revelation chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 to begin with. Revelation 12, 1 and 2. And now a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and on her head a garland of 12 stars. Maybe that depicts the 12 tribes of Israel, possibly. The church, remember, in Scripture is also called the Israel of God. And then notice verse 2, and then being with child, she cried out in labor and in pain gave birth. So this is symbolism. It's talking about Jesus Christ coming through the church, being born, you know, as a part of the church of God, the New Testament church. Dropping down to verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, and she has a place prepared by God, and they feed her 1,260 days. That's 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years. That's the same period as the biblical Great Tribulation period that is coming. Notice verse 14. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time, times, and half a time. Again, that's a year, 2 years, and a half a year. I don't have time to prove that to you, but there are other verses that show that. Again, that's talking about the tribulation period of the Great Tribulation of 3.5 years, where the woman, part of the church of God, are protected from what is coming in the future. So my point here is that God even talks about his church as being a woman that he loves and protects, those who love him. Revelation 19. The honored place of a woman. Revelation 19, notice verses 7 and 8. I think verses we fairly know fairly well. But here John wrote, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." So we all understand that symbolically God refers to the church, the first fruits, those of us who will be in that resurrection when Christ returns, as his wife. The female role, the woman's role. So it's kind of interesting, isn't it, to think about that, men? That God says that we're going to be the wife of Jesus Christ, using that symbolism. What an honored position that will be. Like being married to Christ. You know, the wife, I mean, Leanne is closer to me than anybody. My children are very close, my grandchildren and friends, certain closeness. But no one is as close to me as my wife, Leanne, and knows everything good and bad about me. Well, no one will be as close to Jesus Christ as his wife. So that's an honored position. Now, I don't know what it is to be a wife. Do you men, any of you men, been wives yet? No, I don't think so. But we need to think about it. What does that mean? Maybe we need to learn from our wives and other women what it's like to be a wife. So when we marry Christ, we can be prepared and be ready. Because I don't understand that in the same way as my wife would. My wife could read that and understand it. Well, I know what it is to be a wife. But I don't. I've tried to understand that, maybe learn more of it from her. Let's go to Revelation 21. See these honored positions mentioned in Scripture for women. Revelation 21, verse 2. I mean, even the ultimate. Now, this is beyond the kingdom of God on earth. This is beyond the 1,000 years, this period we're reading now. When John is given a vision, when this earth is changed from physical to spiritual, that just means eternal, permanent. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God the Father, the holy city where God the Father dwells, the holy city that Christ referred to when he says, where I go, there are many offices, many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. You know where our office is going to be? In this holy city. And how is it referred to? The holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a what? Bridegroom? No, as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, I don't know how to adorn myself for my husband, but have you noticed how women who are brides who are getting married, how beautiful they adorn themselves and they dress and they prepare? It's just wonderful. It's awesome. It's beautiful. And so even the holy city, which in that sense represents all of the first fruits, we're going to be there with God the Father and Jesus Christ in that holy city, is referred to as a woman. Notice verse 9 of this chapter. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked to me, saying, come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And in verse 10, he was carried away and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, as a bride adorned for her husband. So women, you know, God really honors you a great deal. We men need to learn to do likewise with great respect and love and honor, realizing that you are God's creation. Just a reminding. I want to just take a few minutes because it's already 1:35, and also I'll wrap it up reasonably quick here. And maybe I can do so by telling you these things without turning to every scripture. I was going to go to John chapter 4, but I'll not go there. But here's what that's about, verses 6 through 9. This is where Jesus came, and Jesus began to change the way women were treated in New Testament times, because the Pharisees and many of the other religious leaders had begun to relegate women as being inferior to men in every way. And Jesus came along and blew that apart. And he began to treat women with love and respect. And this one in John 4 is the Samaritan woman at the well. Remember that story? And he's there at the well in the middle of the day. It's hot. The Samaritan woman comes and he says, would you get me a drink of water? And she perceived that he was a Jew. And she was shocked, literally shocked. Jews didn't talk to any Samaritans, much less a woman. And so it goes on. Quite a bit of the rest of that chapter is this conversation between Christ and this Samaritan woman, which was, I mean, the Pharisees would have stoned him for doing that. Contrary to their laws and their rules, women were looked down upon. And Jesus changed that. And everything that he did and every way that he treated women. And if you want to study a little more, I love books, and you know, you don't have to buy books. I know you can go on Google and research anything and everything, but I still like books. Anyway, one that if you ever get a chance to get it, it's one of the best that I've ever found. Every Woman in the Bible. This one is entitled, fully illustrated. It's by Dr. Larry Richards and his wife Sue. They do research together. They write books and just provide a lot of helpful material. It's kind of the best I've ever found because what it does, and when every woman lived, beginning with Eve in the beginning, and that one is kind of unique, their description there, but they give the way things were socially, culturally, at every stage down through history, and where the role of the woman was and how she fit. And then they go into the Bible examples and how God used them in the Bible. Because Satan inspiring men usually tended to put the woman down in a lesser position. Whereas Jesus Christ had said that he created the woman to be a helper to the man, and the man was to cleave to the woman in every way. But very well organized, very easy to look up, but I found that it had more information, literally every woman in the Bible, alphabetically. But the most helpful thing is giving historical, cultural background to when those women lived. And as I said, like going through Christ's time of how he treated women when he came along. And then that was passed on to the disciples as well. Because in 1 Peter 3:7, you find there's where Peter, you know, trained by Christ, was writing about to husbands, here's how you treat your wives. He was talking to wives as well in that chapter. But he said, husbands, you are to honor the wife as the weaker vessel physically. I've made you bigger and stronger, usually. But to honor the wife, to love and honor and respect her as equal heirs of salvation, as heirs of grace, of the grace of life. That means heirs of salvation. The woman also has the same inheritance as the man. And so Peter came along teaching that we're to honor and respect women. I do want to turn here, if you'll give me five more minutes, because these are split sermons, and there were too many announcements today. I'm sorry for that. But I just want to complete this. Turn to Romans 16. I love this chapter in many different ways, but here it shows many consider Paul to be a male chauvinist because of some of the statements that they take out of context about women and what he says about them. And we do have a paper that should be coming out hopefully before too long. It's been a study going on for a couple of years on the role of women in the Bible. Again, every woman in the Bible, but it's United Church of God study by husbands and wives, ministers and wives in the church. And it goes through all of the teachings of Paul and puts it in proper context and shows what God really says about women. But here in Romans 16, men, let's notice how many times this so-called male chauvinist Paul honors, holds up, and God inspires to honor women and mention women, recorded for all eternity in Scripture. As you know, verse 1, Romans 16, he's writing to the Roman congregation, to the leaders there, and to the whole congregation. I commend or recommend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. You do what she tells you to do. She may have been a deaconess, ordained deaconess. For indeed she has been a helper, see that word, of many, and of myself also. He goes on and on in this chapter. Greet Priscilla and Aquila. Priscilla, obviously, when you read the story of Aquila and Priscilla, Priscilla was probably had a strong lion personality, very strong woman, very converted and dedicated to God, but strong leadership. And she may have been the stronger of the two within even the relationship, because here usually he doesn't mention the woman first in a couple with a couple, but he does here. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their own necks for my life. And he dropped down to verse 6. Greet Mary, who labored much for us. And drop down to verse 12 and 13. Greet Tryphena and Tryphosa, probably sisters, who have labored in the Lord. Greet the beloved Persis, who and labored much in the Lord. These are women. And then greet Rufus, a man chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine, probably a spiritual mother in the church. And so you find Paul honoring, paying homage to, respecting, holding up women, don't you, in Scripture. And I think we still have a ways to go in the church of God. We all know and agree, and it's not even an issue, that women should be ordained pastors. You never find that one example in the Old Testament of there ever being women in the priesthood, nor do you find any examples in the New Testament of women being ordained elders and being church pastors. It's just not there. But apart from that, women fulfilled many, many roles in the history of Israel. They were prophetesses, they were teachers, they were given spiritual gifts. And I think we still, you know, have a ways to go for the development of our women and the use of all of their abilities in the service of God in the congregation. That God will guide us in that as well. So I'll wrap it up by turning to Proverbs 31, verse 30. If you would all turn to that. We all know Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman or wife. But notice what the last verse says here in Proverbs 31, verse 30. And that's what we want to do today. That's what we want to do, isn't it, men? Notice Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30, next to the last verse, says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain." That comes and goes. But a woman who fears the Lord, who loves and honors and respects God, she shall be praised. So I would like to do that. Can't praise every one of you women individually, but just take a moment and let's acknowledge our spiritual mothers. How many of you women in here have been in the church of God, say 25, 30, 35, 40 years, say 25 or more years? How many of you women, would you be embarrassed to stand if I have you stand up? Why don't you, if you don't mind, if you feel embarrassed to stand, you don't have to, but I just like us men to see, you know, we've been spiritual mothers in many ways, and some of you maybe who's not 25 years, I just picked that, kind of the silver anniversary in the Church of God. Yeah, give them a hand. And some of you how many of you are up in your 80s of our spiritual mothers and who are, okay, Margaret's in her 80s, who? Ann Miller's in her 80s. Who else is in their 80s? Esther Peterson, you're here. You're in your 80s. With the three of you, anybody else? Who else? Levada Gray, did you put your hand up? Would you stand up, please? Okay, let's get these. Ann Miller, you got to stand up too. Esther. I mean, they've been around a long time, man, haven't they? They've spiritually mothered me. I will say that. They really have. I've known these ladies since Levada met her in the Bay Area back in the 60s. She's probably the longest back. But when I came here in the first 1980, Leanne and I, these other women have been like spiritual mothers to me ever since. Now, outstanding examples in every way, and all of you women. But how about just all the women today? Would you stand up, all the ladies in the church today? All of God's women. Now, you're all God's women, right? All right. Let's look around, men. Yeah. Hey, come on. I want to see the teenagers stand, too. Come on, teenagers. You're all God's women. And I'll just say on behalf of all of the men here, we want you to know that we do love you and we do respect you very much and we want to honor you. Thank you for being God's women.